Yes, it is that time for the Grind Vlog Hour with Jason Wilde. Ah, God is sweet. Take it away, Doc.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
At what time does your guy play in the quarterfinals?
That's tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? All right,
yep.
Tomorrow. It's won me over, man. When I saw him play against FC Bayern at Lambeau Field, you were like a guest of honor, right? Like they like carried you out on like a throne of some sort, or if I remember correctly.
They took care of us, yeah.
He just was the guy that looked like Clay Matthews to me. And then watching him, and I've seen some video. He seems to be like my kind of player. Like I've been seeing these videos of like him folding up his warm up while all the other guys are throwing it at the kit man. And I was just like, this guy's my kind of guy. And by the way, he's really good on top of it. So
yes.
That's my adopted new team now that the Americans have been eliminated.
Yeah, that's me too. I'm going for Norway now that the U.S. is eliminated. I like the Norwegian team. It's a cool story.
It is, and by the way, you know, the fact that you and I are in lockstep on that makes this an even better The Brian Bulaga Hour featuring Jason Wilde.
Yes, yes. I want to get in, because obviously today was your first day of the list that I love that you make every year, because I feel like you get the list very accurate of the top most important Packer players. And I always like reading through them because I think you do a good job. You detail it well and all those things. And today you released your first one, correct? Number 20, Hargrave. Is that,
yeah,
am I correct on that?
Hargrave. You are correct. I got to be honest, though. You know, I think the world of you. But I was a little disappointed in your feedback because you're part of the Blue Ribbon panel. And all you said was, I like the list. And I wasn't sure if I did a really good job or you just had more important things to do.
No. If I say I like the list, that means I like the list. That means I don't
all
see
right.
any I don't see any corrections with the list.
Okay.
That's the way I don't want to make a long, drawn-out thing just to be like, you know what? The list is right. Then I write a page text, and then I bore you to death by it, and then the end of it just says, I like where it's at. You could leave it. that's the way I like to go about it. But go into a little bit for the people that haven't read it. If you haven't read it, I'd recommend reading it because, like, again, you do a great job with this list, and I think it's very accurate. Kind of go into Hargrave and why you have him where he's at and expectations for him this year, really.
Yeah, so I appreciate you, A, helping me, B, reading it, and then C, asking about it, because it is great to, because I get a lot of people involved. I'm not, you know, there are some that think they have all the answers. I definitely am not in that group, but I got some good feedback, surprisingly, from Alex Strolf. That was unexpected.
Oh wow!
And from a few other, I just said that to see if he was listening, to see if I would get a text message after that. He had some good insight. My old buddy Tom Oates, who's on my Blue Ribbon panel, sent me a couple of thoughts that were helpful. But I thought Hargrave made sense where he is, because quite frankly, they need him to be a good player for them. But I'm not sure what our realistic expectations are for him. He's been a really good player in this league. He had his best year of his career playing for Jonathan Gannon in Philadelphia. But as you well know, 2022 was a long time ago, man. Mm-hmm. Like the NFL is what have you done for me lately, not for long league. And while I think there are very positive things that he brings to the table, potentially, you know, I want to see what he's got. And we certainly didn't get to see much throughout the course of the offseason program just because, you know, he didn't do a whole lot. They don't do a whole lot even with the guys that are healthy. We never found out what might be ailing him that was causing him to be limited during like the mini camp, other than the fact that he wasn't really missing much, right? So, again, I think they have to be better against the run, and I'm not just talking about their performance against Baltimore, which was one of the worst performances I've seen. And I've seen some bad run defensive performances, including a game that you were certainly a participant in San Francisco in the 2012 playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I just think they've got to be more consistently solid against the run, and he's a big part of that.
Yeah, do you think – I mean, and I like the ranking too, because not because it's obviously number 20 and it's you know, right where it starts, but I think he's not being just brought in for what you mentioned, the run game, in my opinion. I think he's being brought in also for his veteran leadership, right? And
yep.
To me, that's what this team has been missing big time in certain moments, right? Like, that to me is – you see what happened against Chicago twice. Like, I just feel like if you have some more guys like that in and around the team, on the field, they can get guys to calm down and settle in and refocus. And to me, that's going to be not just his, you know, run-stopping ability and doing those things. It's going to be a lot of that as well. And how he's able to kind of help that younger defense, especially when Mike is not there early on, mm-hmm. to kind of dial back in when things aren't going great early on in a game or in a third quarter where, you know, the offense isn't doing much and they got to be on the field more than they'd want to be. So, like, to me, he's obviously very important because you need a lot out of him in the run game, but also from a leadership standpoint, he's got to be one of your fallback guys that rallies the troops. And that's why, to me, I think 20 is an appropriate number, just because obviously we don't know how he's going to be deployed in the defense yet either. So we don't really right. know how that's going to go, but we do expect a lot out of him. That's why he's in that top 20, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he played 53% of the snaps for the Vikings last year and was productive in Brian Flores' defense. But I think you make a really important point. And I mentioned the old head. I had the quote from him saying, they all call me the old head. And he is, right, for the Packers. They've got four guys that are over the age of 30. They've got Tyrod Taylor, who's going to turn 37. They've got Javon Hargrave, who's 33. They've got Matt Orzech, the long snapper, who's 31. And now they've got Zaire Franklin, who is 30, and just turned 30 on July 2nd. And to your point, and it obviously carries a lot more weight when you say it, because you were a young guy surrounded by veterans when you were the youngest guy to ever start a Super Bowl. And then later in your career, you were the veteran guy that everyone looked to in that room. And you were even a veteran guy compared to David Bakhtiari, who came in, you know, 4 years after you had been a first round pick. And the one thing that I always keep going back to is the conversation I had with Evan Williams in the visitors' locker room of Soldier Field after the playoff loss. And, you know, I think the world of Evan, you know, not just because he reminds me of your, you know, former Iowa fellow alumnus, Micah Hyde, and not just because of the number, like the way he carries himself, the way he's just a football player, but he's also really bright, and so is Micah. And, you know, I said, look, if I am off base, I would hope we have a good enough relationship now that you say, no, Jason, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And that was how I prefaced it. I said, so please, if I am wrong about this, please tell me that I am. And I said, but when I look at what happened tonight, I see a team that lacks the maturity to handle the ups and the good things and the success, like the old Mike McCarthyism, our biggest challenge will be handling success. You're mm-hmm. up 21-3. You're up 21-6 before the fourth quarter. And you guys didn't handle that. And then when everything went to hell and things are spiraling, then you weren't able to handle the adversity either. And I said, is that like, you're a mature guy for being a second year guy, but does that tell you that you guys aren't mature enough? And he was like, you hit the nail on the head. And I said, are you sure? Like, I wanted to give him every opportunity to say, no, you're making something up. You're an idiot, which is not would not be the first time I've been told that. And he was like, no, you're exactly right. We have to be more mature. We have to be able to handle the highs and the lows and not ride the roller coaster. Well, Javon Hargrave played in back-to-back Super Bowls, right? Zaire yep. Franklin, again, he's the first guy in my career that saw me in the locker room, walked up to me, had never spoken to me. I was in the group around him when he had talked like a week earlier and like introduces himself to me. Like nobody does that. And now, do I think he remembered all of the names of people that he introduced himself to? Probably not. Just like when the dentist and it stood around the circle and introduced himself to everyone. And I wasn't there, so I missed that. But like, there's a maturity to those guys. And one of the things that I would argue, and everyone gets after me, I think Goody's a good GM. I think he has been at times given a pass more than I think he deserves. But one of the things that I don't think is a strength of his, and he's certainly not alone, there's lots of people in the world who are like this, he doesn't admit mistakes. And whether it was Jordy in 2018 and replacing him with Jimmy Graham and being wrong about his theory that, you know, Aaron wouldn't see Devontae as the number one receiver, even though, as you well know from being in that locker room, everyone knew Devontae was now the number one receiver. Not mm-hmm. only Rodgers and Devontae, but Jordy knew it too. So he would never say that. And I had asked him in February when he finally talked after the season. I brought up what Evan had said, and I said, "Do you need more 30-something guys that have been there, done that?" Bought the T-shirt because if it seems to me there's a line of demarcation at age 30, and I don't know how you deny that. The record is what the record is about how many 30-year-olds have been on the team, and then he goes out and adds two more, and then a backup quarterback who's also well beyond 30. So he almost strikes me as the guy, and we all have this person in our life who. He doesn't necessarily say I was wrong or I'm sorry, but he kind of demonstrates it with his behavior. And I kind of feel like that's it. Like, I'm never going to admit that there was a line of demarcation, but now look at what I did with the roster. And I think those guys, you're exactly right, Brian. Not only do they add guys that can still play, again, to what degree, we'll have to wait and see, but also a maturity that, I mean, Zaire Franklin is going to be great for that locker room. You can just tell from the minute you listen to him that guys are going to be around him. You know, once they teach him where the bathroom is and where the training room is, he's going to be teaching them a lot in exchange.
Yep, I agree with that 100%. And again, we've said this a bunch, right? Like, this isn't something new that we're saying right now. We've said this a bunch. You don't need to have 20 of those guys. You don't need that. But if you have guys on each side of the ball that have that experience, that have that knowledge, that kind of have that been around the block mentality and understand the ebbs and flows of games and ups and downs, especially big games, those are valuable pieces to have. I truly believe that guys that have been through a lot, that have played in big games, that have been on good teams, they've been on some bad teams, and they know what good looks like. And they're in Green Bay right now, and it's great. I don't mean that like they just won a Super Bowl, but things are great in Green Bay. Like the organization, right. How they take care of guys, like it's great there. And as an older guy, you appreciate that and you want to make the most out of that opportunity. And now you're going to a good football team by all means, and you want that team to succeed. And you're going to do everything you can to put your best foot forward to help the younger guys on the team to do that. So, to me, that's where the value in those guys are. And then, yeah, like you said, to what extent they play, we'll find out, right? But to me, it's more than just that. It's how they're going to impact guys around them. And that's going to be the biggest thing and kind of a fun thing to watch as the season goes on.
Right, and let's be honest, too. Like, and you obviously became one of those guys during your career. You know, a guy like Kenny Clark was like the quintessential guy like that. For the defense, right? I'm sorry, I never bought into the Rashawn Gary part of it. Like, I just didn't. He didn't strike me as someone who really commanded a room or got guys to follow him. I know you only played with him when he was a rookie, right? But like,
yep.
You need guys. You can't just be Micah Parsons. And I think Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney are guys like that. But you needed a few more on that side of the ball because, again, when you're giving up 25 fourth quarter points, you need somebody that's going to just say, hey, we're good. We're all right. All right. Everybody take a deep breath. We're better than this. We're going to be fine. Let's get this turned around. And it just felt like with Micah Parsons up in a suite somewhere, right, on crutches after surgery, and your safeties, you want those guys certainly to be leaders, but the guys up front are the ones who set the tone. You need people in those first two levels to be able to do that, and they obviously didn't have that.
Yep. Well, and then like we said, you lose Cooper mid-game as well. I mean, there's a lot of things we could talk about that game in general, but this is about overall. Because there's some games right. in this season that was missing as well. You look at Cleveland, for example, was missing right. in Cleveland. Just there's certain games throughout the year you just kind of look at things and go, you know, the team is talented, don't get me wrong. But there's a couple things missing that could help this thing out. But, no, I think you're spot on with where you have them, and I'm excited as the stories come out, you know, guy by guy to read all those. So they are good to read and kind of get your insight on it.
Well, tomorrow will be one of those violations of the rules that Gabe Neitzel has set forth. I've put two people together in this one, and it's going to irritate him, but I hope you'll still read it at least.
Why did you do that?
Because I have my reasons.
I know. Like I that believe either. That was my question.
Why? I know. I'm not going to give them to you.
Okay. All right.
Because it's my list. Homer.
I know it's your list, but you clearly have a reason because you went against what your norm is. Why you won't explain what that reason is surprising to me.
Well,
this one.
Let me give you a hint so you'll read it tomorrow.
I probably won't.
This one is. I'm gonna hang up now then.
All right.
Okay, what is that? What is that? Is it part of your job to read that kind of stuff?
No.
Prepared for the show?
No. I don't need. I have questions to ask of you. You're fantastic, and if you would say,
read your work.
Why?
You're so fantastic, I don't need to read
Dwight,
your work.
I hear you. Tell me anything. Tell me something in there that I haven't received or gotten from you in all the listening I do to your show and all the time you're on. But I will do this. It apparently is important to you that I read this stuff. So
it is.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Thank
where
you.
Actually
thank
is
you
it?
For,
where
thank
is
you
it?
For
where
your,
do I find it? This tells you I've never
very,
read.
Very simple.
Where is it?
Channel3000.com. Channel3000.com.
All right. And how often do you write these things?
Every day. So today was 20.
Every
tomorrow will
day?
Be yeah, counting down to number one the day before the first practice of training camp.
No, I mean, aside, yep. how then, you, do you have a column on channel3000.com every day?
Yeah. I mean, not during the off season. I took a few days off from writing.
Holy.
But, yeah, I think I wrote like 600. It's the same as with the State Journal before. Like I write probably 600 stories a year.
I never read one of those either, but I'll change.
Oh, my God. All right,
well, look,
I got to go.
No,
you
no,
need to take a
no,
commercial break
not,
anyway.
We're not taking a commercial break because you'd have to tell me there's something there that you don't do when I listen to you, and I don't think there
yeah,
is.
Yeah, of course there's stuff there.
What?
I can write as long as I want. I only get to talk a certain amount.
Right, and you
by
pick-
the way, I do a show with Tausch.
I know, and you
and
pick your best stuff.
I don't get to.
You pick your best stuff to be on the show, right?
No, not really. I get in when I can get in.
All right,
but
I'll
that,
be.
That doesn't mean there's not other good stuff.
All right, I'm going to read to see and whether that's that's accurate.
On
now. No, it isn't.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure what my answer is going to be, but I could be proven wrong. Go ahead, Brian. You finish. We need a more positive spin. Can you crank this tone up a little bit? I probably would have been better.
I don't know, Brian. Let me.
I would have been better off leaving.
Out,
I've been better off leaving out some of the stuff I mentioned.
Let me do it for you, Brian. Brian, thanks a lot for reading. You're a good friend. You really do all the things you need to do to be prepared for a radio program. I appreciate you very much. You guys, I will talk to you next week. Take care. Be good.
All right. Thanks.